Can I talk football here for a minute?
Dave Wannstedt.
Dave Wannstedt has guided his Bears to the playoff, and he knows what it takes to succeed.
NFL head coach for 11 years.
The Bears came in here, and Dave Wannstedt, there's a happy group of overachievers that have been well coached.
College football national champion.
A superb game plan defensively by the Miami Hurricanes.
The party has begun in Miami.
Super Bowl champion.
They swarm to the ball so incredibly. This speed-burning defense, number one in the NFL. Dave Wannstedt, the defensive coordinator.
Football analyst for Fox Sports and NBC Sports Chicago.
I was head coach of the All-Madden team.
Wow.
My second year, I believe it was, with the Bears. We went up and beat Detroit Thanksgiving Day.
For John Madden, and this is Pat Summerall saying so long from the Pontiac Silverdome, where the final score was the Bears 10, the Lions 6.
I just got a couple buddies that stopped over. Whitey, bottom shelf is all the beers. Help yourself. I got all you want there.
Whitey!
Hey, Whitey, did you ever hear of Iron City Mango?
Yeah. No,
I have.
The guy.
Yeah, he says yes.
Don't say that. You'll ruin my story. Have you really? My daughters were watching, and they told me that Whitey was getting some play tonight.
Dave Wannstedt.
I see light mango, 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 mango.
With Parkinson Spiegel on 670 The Score.
From his tropical paradise in Naples, Florida, Dave Wannstedt once again with us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sportsbook. And you can see Dave Wannstedt on Twitch. How's it going, Coach?
I'm doing good, Danny. Absolutely. Yes.
Is Whitey there?
Good. Whitey's not here, but Father Jack Wall's here from Chicago, and the famous Terry Lefevre's here. Okay, his brother Timmy Lefevre, who was my ops guy at the Bears all those years. So we got some Chicagoans in the house tonight.
Do you just run like a bed and breakfast down there? Do they stay with you? Do you charge rent? What's the business model here?
No. I just, when you coming down?
I might be coming in a few weeks.
Well, let me know. Let me know, and we'll do something, you know?
Yeah, something. No, I know. I heard I can't crack your golf game, though, if I come down.
No, there's no spot for me.
No, there's
no spot for you. Absolutely right. That's saying it kindly, okay? I'm not a golfer. I play once a week, maybe, if I'm with the guys that I want to be with, and they call me up, and I get into a group with them and have a cigar, and that's my golf game at this point. I'm not committed to it.
I get it. All right,
who,
Dave.
Who we all want? You handling everything yourself tonight?
Yeah, just tonight, you and me. Just you and me.
Okay.
It's all right. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, it'll be fine. What do you know about Jim Harbaugh and the Bears or his desires to coach anywhere? What can you tell us?
Well, I do know, you know, that he had interest in obviously talking to NFL teams if there was mutual interest from the league. And, you know, as of last week, as far as I know, as far as I am told, that he has not been contacted by the Bears. So I got to believe that, you know, the way they do these interviews now with Zoom, it's not like it was in the day where you had to fly the guy in and you're going to spend a day or day and a half with him and go to dinner and the whole bit and bring three or four guys in. I mean, these clubs now with the Zoom, they're interviewing six, seven guys, you know, two guys a day and rolling it. So I would think that if Jim was a priority, that they would have at least taken that step as far as the Bears. So, you know, whether something happens with the Raiders or another team, I have no idea, but I would be shocked at this point if the Bears became a real player in this with Jim Harbaugh.
How could they not want to have him tell them no? I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't understand either. I mean, particularly, you know, I asked Jim because I talked to him. I'll be honest with you. I'm holding back a little bit here. But I
have a sip of your drink. Have a sip of your drink. What are we drinking today?
No, I talked to, you know, I asked Jim 2 weeks ago we were talking, and I asked him how was his relationship with Bill Polian, because he played for him at Indy, and he says, you know, fine. He said, we had a good rapport. So that shouldn't be a factor. So maybe they're going to hire the general manager first, and the general manager's got a short list of coaches, and they don't want a conflict between head coach and general manager. So they're going to go that route, and that's the direction they're going to go. I mean, that's what I would figure out.
But you said you talked he does have a relationship with Polian, because it looked like Polian was there, like they just missed each other in
Indy. Yeah, but they have a, he said they had a good relationship. There was not a problem, you know, not a problem at all.
Okay.
Yep. So now, I don't see that happening. And then I just read last week that he hired a guy from Notre Dame, you know, an assistant coach, to come to Michigan. So it sounds like Jim's moving forward. He was on the road recruiting today, I was told, you know. And so it looks like he's moving forward. And, hey, he's in a great position here at Michigan.
He does have a great position at Michigan. Like, this is what I've been saying on the air, and tell me if it's not fair. All of these candidates seem fine, but they all have some question marks, right? Brian Flores can win. I like him a lot, but he don't get along with people. Like, at least that's what happened in Miami. Like, Brian Daboll, Nathaniel Hackett, maybe they'll be great, but they've never done the head coaching job before. Sometimes if you want to get the home run hire, the old saying, make me an offer I can't refuse. That's what the Raiders did with John Gruden to get him to leave Monday Night Football. They gave him 10 years and $100 million guaranteed, and he was like, well, damn, I guess I got to leave this cushy TV gig to go take $100 million guaranteed. I feel like there's an offer there that would get Jim Harbaugh to leave Michigan if you blew him away financially.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't think that's a factor. I really don't. And the only reason, and there's a, you know, Jim Harbaugh's offense might not be the quote, you know, what the NFL wants to see in an offense. You know, they might put him into the category of old school, right? Mentality. But the thing, and I've been saying this all along, the thing that I like about Jim, forget about my relationship with him, is that if you know what we're going to get the minute he walks in the door. We got an identity now, okay? So this is the direction that we're going. Everybody's on board. Here we go. And now, I did say this earlier in the week, on a couple of different occasions. It looks like Jim's a non-factor. I would get on the plane and fly to Buffalo and offer the job, and I'm on record saying this in the Chicago papers and maybe on the Score radio, I'd offer Brian Daboll the job. Why? Because the guy's worked for Nick Saban. He's worked for Bill Belichick. And Sean McDermott is a defensive guy. So when he went to Buffalo, he put this offense in from the ground level and built it. And they have an athletic quarterback. And you see him call quarterback runs that are very successful. What are we looking for? I mean, you know, it makes no – it really gets cloudy, unless there's something that maybe I'm missing. But just sitting back, talking to people and viewing this thing, that's the – you know.
I'd have no problem with it. It you know me, Dave. I want an offensive coach. You know, like I think that it matters for Justin Fields, and everyone says just leader of men, leader of men, leader of men, and I get it. But when you don't have a proven quarterback, I need to know that the head coach has a plan for the offense that can be stable, that could be here for a while. Right? If you hire Brian Flores or Leslie Frazier or Todd Bowles, or, you know what I mean, like, their offensive coordinator could leave in a year or two, and then you're starting over for Justin Fields.
I agree. But I'm not a big advocate of that, because obviously I'm a defensive guy.
I know.
But I get that. And I could accept that. I mean, the situation Chicago's in, we cannot afford to miss with Justin Fields. He has to be good, or we are going to be set back another 5 years. I mean, there's, you know, everybody I think in Chicago agrees to that point. So why not get somebody that we know has built an offense from the ground floor with similar talent, in similar conditions, and has been pretty darn successful and has a record of being around some pretty good guys, I think, you know, Saban and Belichick.
Yeah, of course, absolutely. And what he's doing with Josh Allen is amazing. I want to talk to you about something that I think you can relate to certainly way more than I can, but I can relate to it in a small way. Like, when there was an opening on this show for someone who I was going to work with, I didn't get to pick who it was, but I had a vote. I had some say. And ultimately, I wanted it to be Spiegs. And admittedly, like, I know him, and we had worked together, and so it was comfortable.
Yep.
When you go through the ranks, right, Jimmy hires you, you work with Tony Wise, you hire people you know because you want to know and trust the people that you work with. That's a good thing for, like, comfort and collaboration and all that. It can be a bad thing for diversity, for outside the box thinking, for hiring new people. I see a lot of people with ties to the Bills organization and a lot of people with ties to the Colts organization. Is it a concern that Bill Polian is just going to steer the McCaskies in the direction of the people he knows and not necessarily go out and hire maybe an uncomfortable candidate, someone that he doesn't know as well but might be the most qualified for the job?
I would say no, because Bill is very, you know, he's as qualified as anybody that's been in the league. He's got a great track record of hiring, obviously, head coaches. We all know that. We know the names. So, no, I would not be concerned about that. I mean, if his name's going to be on it, which it is, I mean, Bill's going to – he's going to do his homework, and I think he's going to hire the guy that he thinks the best. And if you get a guy from a winning program that has done it right, I don't think we should say, oh, just because the guy's from Indy or if he's from Buffalo, that there's ties because of Bill Polian's background. I do not think that, and that would not enter my mind one bit.
How often did you hire someone to join your staff that you didn't know? Like, how did
I never hired anybody that – I don't think Jimmy hired anybody that I personally didn't know or – we were together, and Tony Wise was kind of that guy. If I didn't know him, I would go to Tony and say, what do we know about? And I think there was one guy that I hired at one spot that I did not have a relationship with. It was all third-party recommendations. Tony didn't know him, I didn't know him, and it didn't work out. It didn't work out. I made a mistake. I mean, and you know, if you listen to Mr. Ross's, the owner of the Dolphins, if you listen to his press conference, that's what he was saying. And I think the guy's pretty successful in business, right? And the football is a business, no different than yours. And you just told a story about Spiegs. And what Mr. Ross said was, hey, we won 9 games this year. We did a great job. Basically, Brian Flores did a great job. But 9 wins is not going to win us a Super Bowl. And right now, what we have going on inside this building is not conducive for our organization to win a Super Bowl. We have got to be everybody on the same page and everybody excited about the same goals and everybody pulling the rope in the same direction. And right now, we're not. We're good enough to get 9 wins, but that's not going to get us anything. So, I mean, if you really think about what he's saying, that's what he's talking about. And that's why you were comfortable with Spiegs, because you knew he was talented. And we're talking about hiring talented people. And you knew that the relationship would work. And then it would make the team better. You and him, you know, would be outstanding as you are.
Well, and of course, I get it. I know why it happened, and I'm thrilled that and how it works. But I can also just, like, acknowledge, like, and we cast a wide net. We looked at a ton of different people, and I still believe that it was the best choice. It's just, I don't think that, like, oh, someone worked with the Bears in 1997, so that means that they're most qualified for this. You know, like, I want the connection to, if it's because of a personal relationship, like, I also want them to be the best person for the job, not just the best person that we know for the job.
Absolutely. No, I totally agree. And the interesting thing is, it sounds like, and correct me if I'm wrong, that they're going to hire the general manager and then they're going to move on to the coach, right?
So that's what the reports are that they want to do, but they're doing the interviews at, you know, like Matt Eberflus from the Colts. They've apparently called back for a second interview because he also got a second interview with the Jaguars and they liked him the first time. So they're trying to keep pace with everybody, but the reports are that they want to hire the GM before the coach.
Gotcha. Who just walked into your control room in a suit with a tie on?
I'm not sure. I'm not in the control room.
Who's guy who signed your checks, coach.
Boy, the guy looks sharp.
Yeah.
Tell you what.
Yeah.
He's obviously he's standing between Tanny and Shane, so you're going to look sharp.
That's there.
Oh,
there
hell,
we go.
Come on.
Yeah. Wow, little side swipe.
Throw something at me and I'm going to react.
I get
it. Coach, my flight gets in at 4:30 tomorrow. You'll pick me up?
Mitch, I will be there.
It's unbelievable. Casa de Wanstead. I haven't seen a private plane land in the last 5 minutes. It must be slow down there in Naples.
Yeah. It's cloudy.
Do you, there's like 3 clouds in the sky. Do you know Matt Eberflus at all?
I do not. No, I don't know really, many of these young guys. I just don't. I'll be honest with you. Nope.
No, that's all right.
I think he's done a great job, and they had a lot of injuries on defense, and he was always finding ways and coming up with schemes, hard-nosed, tough. They don't make many mistakes. They don't give up many big plays. I like all that stuff about what he does on defense.
All right, I want to go through the games with you for this weekend. First game is Bengals and Titans. The Titans are going to be getting Derrick Henry back. They've got the better offensive line. Bengals' defensive line is out, but Joe Burrow is hot for the Bengals. Who do you like, Titans and Bengals? Did you just ask for a refill from Jan in the middle of the segment?
I did. I have yes, I did.
Can you just pretend like we're on television for a second? We're going to let you go in just a couple of minutes. I just want to run through the playoff games with you, and then you could go back to sipping
your umbrella
drinks.
I like the Bengals. I'm taking Cincinnati, okay, at home. Okay. I think Cincinnati. And
it's in Tennessee. Biggest,
yes, I like Cincinnati. I'll tell you why. I think their quarterback is the closest thing from a player standpoint and an attitude standpoint to Tom Brady that I have seen. For a young kid, you look at his mannerisms. I think the guy's confident. I think the guy has swag. I think the guy is tough. I think the guy is smart. I like Cincinnati. And the hidden weapon in this game is their running back, Joe Mixon. And to me, going back to his Oklahoma days, when Joe Mixon gets the ball, he makes me get out of my chair because I don't know, he has that type of ability.
The Saturday night game at Lambeau, Kyle Shanahan against Matt LaFleur, Niners and Packers.
This will be Green Bay's toughest game, I believe. This will be it because, think about this, the Niners run the type of offense and defense that weather is not a factor.
Yep.
You know, they could care less if they threw the ball 10 times and ran it 60. So this will be the Packers' toughest game. I believe the Packers win. I think the Packers win this one. They take it the distance.
Rams and Bucks is the first game on Sunday.
Boy, I have a tough time even saying this. I look for the Rams in an upset.
Really?
I'm a Tampa fan. Tampa fan for a lot of reasons. I wouldn't bet on this game, but I don't know. I just I saw Aaron Donald in that defense. And it's just different. It's different. I mean, you wouldn't think that a defense and a couple of defensive linemen could take over a game like they did versus Kyler Murray, who had one of the best completion percentage. People don't realize this. The last 3-4 games, he hadn't thrown an interception. He was completing almost 80% of his passes. He had one of the best ratings completion-wise in the NFL.
Dave, he didn't look like himself in that game. I thought he was injured. I didn't know who I was watching.
About the second play when Aaron Donald hit him up under the mouth, that'll do that to you.
I guess. I was saying about the Rams yesterday. They're a team where people go to, like, reclaim their career.
Yeah.
And, they haven't won a Super Bowl yet, obviously played in one. But, Leonard Floyd struggles here, goes there, looks really good.
Yep.
Odell Beckham struggling in Cleveland, goes there, looks really good. That to me is, other than obviously winning a Super Bowl, like, that is the sign of a healthy organization. If players go there and look better than they did at their previous stop.
You know who else I really caught my attention was their running back, Cam Akers, who came
He's healthy now.
Off of an injury. Wow. Yeah. He made a difference. And that takes a lot of pressure off of Matthew Stafford. And here we go. So I kind of, only because of their defense, I just think their defense is that special.
Marquee game of the weekend, the rematch, Bills and Chiefs at Arrowhead.
I'm all about the Bills, and I'm going to stay with them. I've been on the Bills all year. I know they had that one bad game in Buffalo in the blizzard or whatever you want to call it. You know, last week, let me just say this. I could have watched that New England-Buffalo game for 6 hours. As a coach, as a coach, that was masterful. The way they called plays, the way they, it was a run, it was a play action pass off of it, it was a quarterback movement, it was a screen. I mean, that was, and that's Bill Belichick. He was on his heels the entire game. That was a thing of beauty. And I've been on the Bills all year. The defense showed up, and we have not seen the one thing that the Patriots did all year. They were almost every game, they were known for their physicality. The most physical team in that game was the Buffalo Bills. And that, to me, that's, I like that.
Josh Allen remind you of anyone?
Boy. The way people fall off him, Big Ben, when he was a rookie in his first year, but Ben wouldn't run like that.
Right, he's fast.
I mean, they call quarterback runs. He's their best running back. I know Singletary had a big day.
Yeah.
But Josh Allen is their best runner with the ball. The guy, he's a different, and I hope that we see Justin Fields kind of in that mold. That's my point with Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator up there. Take that game plan and run it against our opener next year, whoever it is, and we'll win the damn game.
I'm with you. If they can't get Harbaugh, to me, Daboll would be a great hire. I'll have questions. It'd be similar to Matt Nagy for me. Like, he would check all
similar
the
– Similar to Matt Nagy? Brian Daboll? This guy's been calling plays for about 10 years. Exaggerating.
The play calling part is, sure,
that's the deal, being able to make a decision.
Well, but being a head coach, he's never been a head coach.
Right.
How much
– True.
He's got five Super Bowl rings because he was with Belichick.
I agree. I agree. I hear that.
There's a difference, right, between being the number two to Jimmy and then when you did it yourself for the first time. There's a difference. You proved to be able to do it, but there's a difference.
Absolutely.
So that's my only thing. Like, it doesn't mean he can't be great. Everyone's got to get their first shot sometime, but it would be the thing I would want to know. Well, Dave, listen, I know you only got time for the one segment today. That one cloud that was behind you moved, so now it's back to a cloudless sky. Congratulations, and enjoy your Bradshaw bourbon. What are we drinking?
That's all I'm drinking. Last week, the flight to L.A., Jimmy and I flew to Gainesville, Texas, and guess who we picked up?
Yeah, Terry Bradshaw. How was the
– Terry Bradshaw with a jug of his bourbon in hand. Absolutely.
All right, so I had a question. did you have to go to Miami – to then leave, or did Jimmy fly from Miami to Naples?
No.
Did he stop twice?
His pilots are in Fort Lauderdale, so he's got a 45-minute drive from the Keys to Fort Lauderdale, and I drive across. They get a car. I go across Alligator Alley. It takes me about an hour 20.
So you meet at the plane.
We meet at the plane.
Yep. What is served? Food? So I know that you guys drink what do you drink? Some Heineken, some beers, and then you get
Jimmy
the Bradshaw
bourbon. Heineken, with Terry it's bourbon. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And then Jimmy had a whole flock of Kentucky Fried Chicken. You know, a whole flock.
A whole flock of fried chicken. for the flight.
It was great for us. You know.
Yeah, that sounds clogged those arteries. Yeah, it sounds. And you're going to work. It sounds perfect. All right, Dave. Have a good week. We'll talk soon.
All right, guys.
All right. That's Dave Wanstead, living his best life, drinking bourbon, asking for refills during his segment, and recounting having Kentucky Fried Chicken and bourbon on Jimmy Johnson's private jet. It's not a bad life if you can get it.
Yeah, but that 45-minute drive, though, it sounds kind of like
that's
hassle.
True. I mean, yeah, really? We leave Chicago to avoid the traffic. I mean, God, that windshield time in his Mercedes, that must be so hard for him in his heated garage at one of his five houses on a golf course. We have Mike North to kick off our interview series. We're going to have 30 guests for 30 years leading up to our 30th celebration, which is All-Star Week of the baseball season, which is really ambitious of us thinking that we know when All-Star Week is going to be. But Mike North at 5 o'clock, some absolutely insane audio next on The Score.